Welcome to Women from United Nations Radio in New York. I'm Jerry Adams. The Working Group on Discrimination Against Women has called on Tunisia to adopt stronger measures in its draft constitution to combat gender inequality and discrimination. The group has just completed a 5-day visit to the country where, 2 years ago, civil resistance led to the fall of longtime President Zine El Abidine Ben Ali and the subsequent holding of democratic elections. The head of the working group, Kamala Chandrakirana, tells UN Radio's Alpha Diallo that while the group was impressed by women's participation, it is still concerned about the fear expressed by some women that their rights were eroding.
We found that in the process of their participation, there's a general sense of fear among many Tunisian women that they risk losing the legal guarantees of equality that they have so far enjoyed. And the sense of fear is very widespread and expressed to us by women from different walks of life. So this is a very a source of concern for the working group, because at this very important time when Tunisia is deliberating at a national scale on the new foundations for its country, the government should ensure that every single individual, men and women, can express their opinions in safety.
How do you see the future of Tunisia and women's rights?
Well, 2 years after the revolution, the country is highly polarized. There are views that are in total opposition to each other on the future of Tunisia, which includes on the issue of women and guarantees of equality between men and women. And this polarization, this intense debate, is reflected in the draft constitution. The first draft constitution had some provisions that were considered by many Tunisian women and by the human rights community as undermining the international standards of equality. We found that there needs to be stronger provisions on non-discrimination, including on the basis of sex, and that the prohibition of discrimination was not well articulated. This kind of behavior is giving a message to many women that the political will of the government to ensure implementation of even the current equality guarantees is weakening.
UN Radio's Alpha Diallo speaking with Kamala Chandrakirana. Rosemary Marimo is a woman with purpose. She began prospecting for gold in Musawe, Zimbabwe, with her husband 20 years ago. Now 60 years old and a widow, she's been running the business alone. Mary Ferreira of UN Television first met Rosemary when she visited Zimbabwe to produce a feature on gender equality and women's empowerment for UNTV. She tells Rosemary's story.
60-year-old Rosemary Marimo is a gold miner in Mazowe, Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe has got so much gold, so much.
But mining gold is far from easy in Zimbabwe, especially for a woman who lacks the financial resources and is often denied credit by banks. In Rosemary's case, she was only able to borrow money to run a profitable operation in her husband's name when they first started dredging this plot of land 2 decades ago. Then the unexpected happened.
He passed away 14 years ago. But I carried on. And when my son graduated in America, I said, come back home. You must work hard because we are owing the bank some money. And the bank threatened to take over everything from us.
If not for her son's return, Rosemary would have failed to negotiate with the bank because of society's perception of women's roles.
Men are used to walking into a bank, talking with a bank manager and so forth, for women, that's a fairly new area.
According to Dr. Olivia Muchena, the Minister of Women's Affairs in Zimbabwe, that's all changing.
Through various programs, a good number of our banks are opening windows or special facilities for women.
And to further help women get into business and avoid some of the obstacles Rosemary experienced, the government partnered with the United Nations Development Program, UNDP, to train policy planners and decision makers under its Gender Responsive Economic Policy Management Initiative, GEPME. A group of 34 policy makers, men and women, attended a UNDP-sponsored training on gender-responsive economic planning held in Zimbabwe recently. They're now equipped with knowledge to develop policy and related processes that include a gender perspective. A move geared to lift women out of poverty and give them greater control of their lives.
UNTV's Mary Ferreira, who told the story of Zimbabwean entrepreneur Rosemary Marimo. In the 3 years since Haiti's devastating earthquake, women still struggle to keep their families safe, fed, and healthy. Over 360,000 Haitians are still in tent cities or living in damaged homes. Edith Desjardins is a survivor. She was almost killed when her roof collapsed during the earthquake, but she didn't want to leave the house where she was raising a family.
I wanted to come back to this house. From the beginning, they asked me if I wanted to come back, and I said yes.
To help women like Edith stay in their neighborhoods, the World Bank is funding programs that rebuild and repair homes so families don't have to relocate. But the neighborhoods themselves need to improve for women to thrive. Haiti had the highest level of maternal deaths in the Caribbean, even before the earthquake, and lack of electricity and lighting makes streets unsafe. So, World Bank funding is also helping the government deliver more services throughout the country. Patrick Rosier is an advisor to Haitian President Michel Martelly.
C'est s'assurer que les quartiers existants aujourd'hui.
The first step is rehabilitating existing neighborhoods to ensure that current neighborhoods respect the norms, have basic minimum service, health facilities, access to roads, electricity, light, etc.
Better health care and other services make life safer and better for Haitian women, but life is still hard for them. Besides being caretakers for their families, women are often the sole breadwinners. Yet 75% of working women in Haiti are employed in informal, low-paying jobs. Especially in agriculture, although women provide much of the labor, the profit is passing them by. Away from the capital, in the rural countryside near the town of Les Cayes, a group of women is attending a program that teaches them how to make more money from their land through better planning, growing, and marketing. Like many women, Serette Dodier supports herself and her family by farming a small plot of land.
This program will help me by registering me with the agricultural people so I can get the things I need for my field, more seeds or fertilizer, things I always need more of to be able to have good crops, and I have to do this on my own.
The earthquake devastated the lives of men, women, and children. But experts say programs that target women often improve the lives of whole families. Moussa Perret Fingian, program director, Organization for Rehabilitation of the Environment, has seen this happen.
Women are very important because, you know, I mean, sometimes they call them in Creole, potomitan, meaning the standing pole that's holding the house, but also because they feed Haiti in the sense that women bring the food that's grown in rural Haiti to the main city.
Moussa Perret Fingian, ending this edition of Women. You've been listening to Women from United Nations Radio in New York. I'm Jerry Adams.